So we are holding on Yud Ches Amud Bey's 11 lines from the bottom. Line begins Rabbi Yirmiyah. We said in the Mishnah, Zohav lo yifchis chulo, if a person makes a neder, I'm going to give a donation of gold to the Beis Hamikdash, then he has to give at least one gold dinar. So the Gemara says, Amar Abalazav hu sheyizkir tzura. That's only if he mentioned that he's going to bring some kind of coin. Tzura literally means an image, because coins have images or pictures or depictions on them. So if he says that, then the minimum size coin that he has to give is a gold dinar. Avla imla hizkir tzura. But if he didn't mention that he's going to bring a coin, then it can be something even smaller, maybe afilu tzinora. Then he can even bring a small fork. Which they could use. They could use a small fork like that, for example, to tweeze and adjust the wicks of the menorah. Okay, we said in the Mishnah Shisha l'nedava. We said out of the 13 shofres, the 13 pushkas in the Beis Hamikdash, six of them were for nedava, which we said means that you use them for kaitz amizbeach, for karbonas that are going to be brought when doing slack times, when no other karbonas are being brought. So the question is, why you need six boxes? So Rav Amar, Chizki Amar, connected shisha bate avos. They correspond to the six bate avos. Each mishmo is divided into six or seven bate avos. It's machlokes in different places. Is it that there were six bate avos? Each one would serve on one day of the week in Beis Hamikdash, and then the seventh one would serve, and then the seventh, and then all of them together would serve on Shabbos. Or is it that there were seven bate avos in each of them, and there would be one base of for Shabbos? So here we're following the opinion that there were six bate avos. The point being, the reason why we want to have separate shofars for each one is that this way there's not going to be arguing. There's not going to be arguments between them, because what happens is, some days you have more people bringing money. Some days you have less. Some days you have more karbonas nedava, more kaitz and mizbeach being brought because it's a quieter day. Sometimes not. So in order that the bate avos don't argue among themselves, they set up separate shofaris for that purpose. And each base of is going to take from one of the shofaris, and that way whatever they get is what they get. And there's not going to be as much arguments. So that's Chizkia. Good morning, Ali. Bar Pedoya Omar. Bar Pedoya gives a different reason. Can I get Shesh Behemoth? The six boxes, the six Nadava boxes, correspond to six types of animals that can be brought as korbanos. Power of ego, an adult cattle, and baby, a calf, the sawyer, a goat, a mature goat, ayol, a ram, a baby goat, and a baby sheep. So the idea is, in other words, according to him, it's not so much. I mean, it is true. It may be that they use these boxes for, as we said in the Mishnah, Moiso Chatas and Moiso Asham, for leftover money from Chatois and Ashamois, and they would go in there. But primarily the idea is, if a person is saying, I'm going to give a power as an Ola, and then he'd take the money for that and put it in the box labeled par, and the same thing with each of the other ones. And the reason would be because the Mishnah tells us in Menachos that, for example, if a person makes a neder to bring a par as a korban, and instead he brings an eagle, which is smaller, then he's not yotze. So therefore, they had to have separate boxes, according to Bar Pedoya, to cover all the different kinds of animals that can be brought as korbanos. Shmuel says a third reason why they had six boxes. Connected shisha karbonis corresponds to six kinds of karbonis from which you would have leftovers, from which you would have moiser that you could conceivably have leftover money, which, as we're saying, is going to kaitz amizbeach. Kinei zavim, kinei zavis, kinei yoldis. You have where a zava has to bring, or yeledis has to bring two birds. One as a chatas, one as an oila. Chatois vashamos. Then you have regular chatas, regular asham, hamenachos, and then you have a korban mincha, v'asira se'efa, and then you have the tenth of the efa that the kohen gadol would bring as his daily mincha, which we had a machlokes before, and we're going to mention it briefly in the Gemara at the beginning of the next perek. What do you do with leftover money of that? Does it go to, we have an opinion that it goes to Nadava, Rabbi Lazar, who says it goes to Nadava, and therefore that would be the sixth one. There's a couple of different Gersois over here, which one, how exactly we count them. Do we count Menachos? Do we count Menachos or not? Hagoyes Agra takes that out. Do we count Zav and Zava separately? Do we count Yoledes separately, etc.? But somehow we reach the number of six, and Shmuel says this is why we have six Nadava boxes, because to represent those six different kinds of things. So if a person has, for example, Moisu Chatas, leftover money from a Chatas, then it goes into one of those boxes. If he has leftover money from an Oshem, it goes into another one, and so forth with each of the other ones. Amar Rabbi Yechanan, Rabbi Yechanan says here's a fourth reason why they needed a lot of boxes. Al Yadesha Nadava Meruba, since there's a lot of Nadava money coming in, Ribul or Shofaris Harbe, they had to make for it a lot of Shofaris, because otherwise what's going to happen is only the money on the top is going to end up getting used. They're not necessarily going to use up all the money in those boxes every day. Unlike, for example, we said we had boxes for Kinim and Gozle Ola, which are where people have to bring bird korbanos, and we said those, the Beis Din Shel Kohanim has to make sure all the money is dispersed every day, because the person needs to be able to depend on that their korban was brought. Here it's Nadava, that's not necessary. Therefore, they may not take out all the money every day. And therefore, what's going to happen is the top coins are going to end up getting taken out. The bottom ones may stay in there and they may rust. So therefore they set up separate, they have a bunch of separate Nadava boxes. This way, each of them is more likely to be cleaned out at any given time, and there won't be any money left in there to get moldy or rusty. Okay. So the Gemara finishes off the Perek by, since we mentioned in the Mishnah, we mentioned in the Mishnah the Medrash of Yehoyada Kohen Gadol from the first place of Mikdash, where he explains how we know from Pesukim that leftover money from Chatas or Asham goes towards Oilos, goes towards Kites and Mizbeach, where the meat is burnt on the Mizbeach, and the skins go to the Kohen. So now the Gemara digresses a little bit to talk about what Yehoyada accomplished there in the Beis Hamikdash in terms of the Nadavas. Now, Ksiv, the Pasuk says in Divrei Yomim, Uchachaloisam, when they had finished the story of the renovation of the Beis Hamikdash and how they collected the funds for it, is told in two different places in Nach. It's in Sefer Melachim, which that part we read as the Haftorah of Parshas Shkolim, appropriately enough, and then it's also in Divrei Yomim. So in Divrei Yomim, it says, when they finished renovating the Beis Mikdash, then they brought the money in front of the king and Yehoyada, and the Pasuk goes on to say that they used it to make clay sharis. Now, the problem with that is that you have in the Pesukim and Melachim, it specifically says, which is a Pasuk that we brought in the Mishnah, that no, such thing was not used for klish, or actually it's a previous pasuk, we didn't bring it in the Mishnah, but whatever, a couple of psukim before the end of the Haftorah, it says that they did not use the money for klish aris. So what is it? Did they or didn't they? So Rav Shmuel bar Nachman b'shem Rav Yonas and Amar, shtei nedavos osa. It means that Yehoyada set up, also the problem is not just that, the problem is also that in Melachim versus in Divrei Yomim, it describes two different places where they set up the boxes. In Melachim, it says that Yehoyada took a box, vayikov chor b'dalto, he made a hole in the side of it, and he put it next to the Mizbeach, and people would put their nedavos in there. In Divrei Yomim, it says that he placed in Divrei Yomim, it says that he placed it at the outer gate of the Beis Hamikdash. So what is it? Next to the Mizbeach or at the outer gate? So Rab Shmuel bar Nachman b'shem Rab Yonas and Amar, shtei nedavos asa, means that he set up two different boxes for nedavos. So one was in one place, one was in the other. One of them is for Bedek Abayis, for the renovation of the Beis Hamikdash, and the other one is to buy clay sharis. The whole reason was, the reason why they had to renovate the Beis Hamikdash at that time, it was only 150 years or so since Shlomo HaMelech had built the Beis Hamikdash, and it had been built very strongly. So it wasn't like it desperately needed, it wasn't like under normal circumstances, it should have desperately needed renovation. The problem was, as the Pesukim go on to say, that Asalia, the queen over there who had wiped out most of Malchus Beis David, she and her family had worshipped Avodah Zarah, and they'd broken up the Beis Hamikdash in different places. They'd stolen all the treasures of the Beis Hamikdash and used them for Avodah Zarah. So therefore, now they needed to renovate and they needed to buy new clay shoris. So Rav Shmuel bar Nachman is saying that they actually had two different pushkas and two different funds for this, one to repair the Beis Mikdash and the other one to buy clay shards. On the other hand,
was Jewish.
What? Asalia was Jewish. Yeah. Asalia was Jewish. She was the daughter or the sister of Achav. But Achav and his family, the kings of the Aseret HaShvatim, we know that particular family worshipped Avodah Zarah. And when Asalia was in power in Yehuda, she also did. So eventually, after 6 years, they finally assassinated her and restored the service of the Beis Mikdash and got rid of Avodah Zarah the way they were supposed to. Again, that's the Pesukim at the beginning. The Pesukim at the beginning of the Haftorah, Parshas Shkolim, discussed the end of that. But the point is that now, this is why only 150 years after the first Beis Mikdash was built, they already had to repair it. They already had to do a thorough repair top to bottom and buy new clay shards.
Why did they wait 6 years?
Because it took time until baby Yehoyash was the only survivor left of the family, and he was only a year old. So it took. So Yehoyada had to bide his time. Finally, after 6 years had passed, he judged that it was time that there was enough. He had enough. He had enough people on his side, and there was then the king, and the next king is 7 years old, is already old enough to crown him as king. That we can get things moving.
And she killed most of the descendants of David HaMelech.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah. All right. Onward. The Gemara says, Toni Dvei Rabbi Shmuel. On the other hand, we learn in a braisa from the yeshiva of Rabbi Shmuel. No, Nedava Achas. No, there was only one box for Nedava. Dichtiv, as the pasuk says, Vayomer Hamelach Vayasu Aroin Echad. It says that the king gave orders and they made one box, which implies that there's only one box. And the Gemara is paraphrasing the Pesukim a little bit because you have some of what it's quoting over here is where some of the words Vayitneu Behechol Beis Hashem, it doesn't actually say in the Pesuk, it's paraphrasing, he placed it in the Hechol, and a different Pesuk in Malachim describes Vayikuv Chor B'dalto, he made a hole in the door of it so people could put in their Nedavos. So then the question is, so then what about, you have again the pasuk that says that on the other hand, they didn't put it next to the Mizbeach, they put it by the outer gate. So Rav Chuna says, what happened was originally they placed it next to the Mizbeach, but then they realized there was a problem if they have it next to the Mizbeach, only Tahorim can come and bring money and put into it. What about Tmeim? So therefore, they instead moved it to outside the gate. This way, certain Tmeim are not Mitzarayim, are not going to be able to either way. They can't come into Yerushalayim at all. But people of a lesser level of Tumah, for example, people who are only Tomei Sheretz or Tomei Mes, will be able to go. They can go anywhere in the Har HaBayis up till the Azara. So therefore, they'd be able to put in money as well. Okay. On the other hand, Rab Chuna b'shem Rab Yosef al shem achlo yosef beis Hashem sipes kesef mizamris kula. On the other hand, Rab Chuna says in the name of Rab Yosef, no, our original assumption that there were two boxes must be correct, because after all, besides the contradiction about where the box was located, which fine, that we can infer and say first it was in one place and then they moved it, but one pasuk says clearly in Malachim that they did not use the money for clay shoris, and the other one in Divrei Hayamim says that they did. So it has to be, therefore, that evidently there were two separate boxes. And therefore, so they used one for Bedek HaBayis and they used the other one for Klei Shardis. Actually, the Bavli in Ksubas talks about this and says differently that what it is there may have indeed been only one box, but what it is that after they finished with Bedek HaBayis, then Tnai Beistin, they had to begin with Lev Beistin, Masna Aleim, that Beistin has in mind, any money that's placed in this box that's not in the end needed for Bedek HaBayis, for repairing and renovating the Beis Mikdash, can be used for clay shardis. And therefore, there could have just been one box, and the Pasuk is saying they didn't make clay shardis with it, meaning until they're finished with the renovations. After that, Lev Beistin, Masna, and they could. Okay. Hadron Alach Perak Yud Gimel Shofaris. Okay, so since we talked about these 13 boxes, now let's talk about what happens if you find money on the ground between them. So Halacha Aleph, the Mishnah says, Mois shenimtzu ben ashkolim l'nedava. Suppose you find money on the ground between the shkolim boxes and the nedava boxes. Now, let's remember from the previous perek that The Shkolim are the first and second boxes. The Nedava is the 8th through the 13th boxes. So how are they next to each other? The Gemara is going to end up explaining. The Gemara is going to explain that they were placed in a circle, or they were placed in such a way that the Nedava boxes were in fact next to the Shkolim boxes. So now if you find money on the ground between them. So then, korev l'shkolim, if you find that money closer to the shkolim box, then we assume yiplu l'shkolim, then it goes into the shkolim, because then what it is you have like this. There's a concept in halacha that we go according to what something is closer to. We learn that from the case of Egla Arufa. You find a body outside the city. It's in Masechta Sota, so learning Sota for Sfiras Omer. We're going to get to it in a few weeks. So if you find a body, you measure, the Torah says, to find the closest city, that establishes a precedent, that establishes a binyan ab, that you go according to korev, you go according to what's closer, whether l'kula or l'chumra. Therefore, if you find this money nearer to the shkolim box, then you know for a fact it came from the shkolim, and you put it back in there. The Nedava, you put the Nedava, and if you find it closer to the Nedava box, then you put it in the Nedava box. Mechze l'mechze, if you find it exactly in the middle, so now you don't have korev to go according to anymore, then you have a different principle in the Torah, which says that you go according to roiv. So then mitzad ha-safek, because you're not sure, you put the Nedava, you put them into Nedava. Because, as the Gemara is going to say, Nedava has a higher level of Kedusha than Shkolim, as we'll see in the Gemara. Now here it's more a matter of suffix. You do actually have, there's a sugya in the Bavli in Bava Basra that talks about where you have the opinion of Rab Chanina that says that you go according to Roiv. So according to him, the question, and in fact, he says that Roiv beats even Korev. He says, even when it comes to Egla Arufa, when we say you measure to the closest city, that would only be if both cities have the same population. But if you have one city is larger than the other one, then he says that the larger one would have to bring the Egla Arufa regardless. And the Gemara has to find scenarios over there where, for example, the cities are isolated in a valley, so you don't have other cities that the person could have easily come from. According to Rab Chanina, we would have to say either some of the Mefoshim explain that according to Rab Chanina, then you would have to say in our case that the two boxes, Nedava and Shkolim, had equal amounts of money in them. And therefore you don't have Roiv to go with, and you don't have Korev to go with either, because it's exactly equidistant between the two of them. And therefore you have no choice but to be Machmir and put it in Nedava. The other way of looking at it, which some of the Mefoshim say, is even Rab Chanina would say here you can't go according to Roiv, because unlike the population of a city, which is more or less constant over some period of time, I mean, obviously, eventually, over time, people over a longer period of time, people die and are born and move away and so forth. But over the short term, the population is fairly stable. On the other hand, the amount of money in these boxes is not. You always have new money coming in, and you always have money going out. And therefore, maybe even Rab Chanina wouldn't say you go according to Roiv over here. Okay. Next, the Mishnah continues, Bain Eitzim Lelavoina, suppose that you find money on the ground between the box labeled Eitzim and the one labeled Lavoina, which we said Eitzim was that a person is donating money towards wood for the Mizbeach, and Lavoina is the person is donating money for Lavoina, for incense to be brought on the Mizbeach. So again, Korov L'Eitzim, Yipul L'Eitzim, if it's closer to the Eitzim box, then you put it in Eitzim on the grounds of Korov. L'Lavoina, Yipul L'Lavoina, if it's closer to Lavoina, you put it in Lavoina. Mechza L'Mechza, Yipul L'Lavoina, if it's exactly in the middle, you put it in Lavoina. Because again, Lavoina has a higher level of Kedusha on the grounds, both of them are burnt on the Mizbeach. But the Lavoina itself is an actual korban. We learn the Lavoina itself is an actual korban, whereas the wood is only more machshire korban. It's something it's a prerequisite for bringing the korbanos. To a certain extent, it itself is considered a korban, but not to the same degree as Lavoina. Okay, next, ben kinin legozla ola. What if you find the money between the kinin box and the gozla ola box? Now, we had in the previous perek, in the last Mishnah, we had a machloikas, Rabbi Yehuda and the Chachamim, what these boxes were for, respectively. According to Rabbi Yehuda, one was for Torim, both of them were for Korbanos Nedava, for voluntary Korbanos, but one was for Torim, for turtle doves, and the other one was for Bnei Yonah, young doves. So therefore, according to him, there's no real difference as far as the kedusha between one and the other. You could put it in whichever box you want. But according to the Chachamim, who said of it, but yeah, according to the Chachamim, where one of them was for korbanos, where one's going to be a chatas and one's going to be an oila, and the other one is. And the other one is for all oilers. So then again, korev le kinim yiplo le kinim. If it's closer to the kinim box, then you put it in kinim. Le goiz le oiler, korev le goiz le oiler yiplo le goiz le oiler. If it's closer to goiz le oiler, then you put it in that one. Mechze le mechze yiplo le goiz le oiler. And if it's exactly in the middle, then you put it in goiz le oiler, because goiz le oiler has a higher level of kedusha. Because after all, for two reasons, the Rivavan says. Number one, because oilas are completely burnt on the mizbeach, whereas chatois are eaten by the kohenim. And number two, because an oila meila continues to apply to it even after it's burnt, until the ashes are removed from the mizbeach, whereas once malika and the pressing out of the blood is done, at which point the kohenim can eat it, at that point meila doesn't apply to it anymore. Therefore, on those two grounds, oilas have a higher level of kedusha. Therefore, if it's exactly in the middle, it's going to go into the box for oilas. We're going to ask in the Gemara what happens to. You had some person brought money and put it in that box, intending that it needs to be brought for a chatas and an oila over there. What are we going to do about that if we end up putting the money in the oila box and it might conceivably have come from the chatas and oila box? We'll see in the Gemara. Okay. Next, what about outside the Bais Mikdash? Now, so far we talked about cases where money is on the ground between one box and another. What about outside the Bais Mikdash? Similar idea. Bein chulin l'maisa sheni. Suppose a person has a box where they keep chulin money and a box where they keep maisa sheni money. So the same thing. Korev l'chulin yiplo l'chulin. If the money is found on the ground closer to the chulin box, then you put it in the chulin box. L'maisa sheni yiplo l'maisa sheni. If you find it closer to the maisa sheni box, you put it in the maisa sheni box. Mechze l'mechze yiplo l'maisa sheni. And if it's exactly in the middle, then you put it in the maisa sheni box. Same idea. Zaklal, the general rule is hochanacha korev lahokel. You go according to the closer one, even when it results in a kula. Like in this case, for example, where you say if it's closer to the chulin, you put it in chulin. Meaning, in other words, you're not even considering it a suffix. It's vaday that it's chulin, because on the grounds of the rule from Egla Rufa, we know that it came from there, because you go according to korev. Only mechzel mechzel hachmer. Only when it's exactly in the middle do you have to be machmer, because then it's a suffix daraisa, and then you have to be machmer. Why we don't say, by the way, you could argue that there's lots of other money in the world, and maybe this came from there. So in the case of the boxes in the Bais Mikdash, you don't really have a lot of money coming from anywhere else, because as we're going to learn in connection with the next Mishnah, you're not allowed to carry money openly onto the Harabayis. So money that's coming there, but Pashtus, is going to be from one of the boxes. Even in the case of a box of Chulin and a box of Maaser Sheni, you'd have to be saying that the scenario is where let's say you have, I think the Talmud Harash Bash explains this, that says that let's say you're talking about where there wasn't any money in the vicinity anytime recently. So therefore you can't say that, well, maybe it came from Roiv of the money in the world, and Roiv of the money in the world is Chulin. No, you have to just focus on the money that's available here and now, because let's say you know that there was no other money brought to that area recently. Okay. So the Gemara asks, "Loi hutzrucha de la ben shkolim l'kinim? Why is the Mishnah mentioning the case between when the money is between shkolim and kinim? On the face of it, the Gemara is assuming that the shofaris were in a straight line, and therefore shkolim is at one end of the line and Nedava is at the other end. So shouldn't the Mishnah have mentioned a case where it's between shkolim and kinim? Why is it saying between shkolim and Nedava?" So the answer is Rab Ovan, Rashem Rab Pinchas, come in Buchlior Hayu Oisin. They were arranged in the shape of a circle. Buchlior is a circular or semicircular type of jewelry. So the Gemara sometimes uses it to mean a circle. So therefore, Shkolim is the first one. Nedava, well, one of the Nedava one is the 13th one, but the 13th is next to the first because they're in a circle. There is actually a different explanation. The Reb Shlomo Cirilio brings the Ravid, who explains Buchlio as meaning something like a semicircle. And he says, what are you talking about? Based on the Gemara over here, it can't be a semicircle. It has to be a full circle. However, another Mefurish on the Yerushalmi called Har Ephraim discusses that and gives a diagram and says maybe the Ravid would understand that they were arranged sort of like a staple with the ends bent inward, so that it wasn't a complete circle, but you still have that the shkolim could be next to the nedava, and there's a break at some point in this circle. There's a break at some point in the circle, but not between shkolim and nedava. So you could have shkolim could be close to kinim, and they could also be close to nedava. Okay. So we said mechzel mechzel yipul nedava. So we said if it's exactly in the middle between the nedava and shkolim, then we put it in a nedava. So the question is why? Why shouldn't the Mishnah have said that it goes into shkolim? Because after all, on the face of it, shkolim has shkolim you buy from it korbanos tzibur, the regular korbanos tzibur. Nedava is only used for kaitz hamizbeach, which is less often. So on the face of it, you should argue that shkolim are greater. So the Gemara says, "Ista boy meimer shem yiplu l'shiyori alishka." So the answer is, one opinion says the reason why is because it's true that the shkolim are used for the korbanos tzibur. On the other hand, not all of them are. We learned earlier in the Masechta that after they finish doing the three trumas halishkas for the year, then all the money left over is called shiore halishka, and it doesn't go towards that year's korbanos. It goes to projects like the ramp for the parah adruma and for the sereda mishtaleach and for repairing the walls of Yerushalayim and things like that. So therefore, where's all the money in the nedava boxes is guaranteed once it's spent that it's going to go towards kaitz hamizbeach. So the reason why we put it in that case in nedava is because not necessarily was this money destined to go for the korbanos anyway. It may go to shiori alishka, which is a lesser level of kedusha than nedava, which at least goes on the mizbeach. That's one opinion. Is the boy lemeimer, and then there's another opinion, mechza lemechza kamisha mes, that if we find it exactly in the middle, then we consider it, we treat it like a machza shekel where the owner died. And Amr Rabbi Yassa, and we had this already twice in the Masechta, that Rabbi Yassa said, Adan no tamon, when I still lived there in Bavel, Shamis kol Rabbi Yehuda shal l'shmul, I overheard Rabbi Yehuda asking Shmuel, hifrish shikle v'mes, what happens if a person designated as machta shekel and then he died? Amr l'yipul l'nadava. And Shmuel told him it goes into Nedava. So the same way over here, since we have this money over here, which we don't know whether it came from the Shkolim box or not, then we consider it as if the owner died. Now, we don't say the owner, if the owner is alive, he still has a portion in the Korbanos Tzibur, because Beis Din has in mind when the Trumas Alishka is taken, as we've learned earlier in the Masechta, they do have in mind that it covers any money that got lost on the way or whatever. So in this case, so this person who donated it still will have a portion the korbanos tzibur, but in case, in fact, it came, but because of the suffix, we treat it as though the owner died, therefore we put it in a dava. Okay. Also, in that connection, we learned this in connection with that same statement also, Moiser Asiris Eifeshaloi. We also discussed the question, what happens when you have leftover money or leftover flour from the Kohen Gadol's Asiris Eifeshaloi, which he brings every day? What do you do with that? Rabbi Yechanan Omer Yelichim Liyam HaMelech. Rabbi Yechanan says, it's also Bahana'ah, so therefore you have to throw it in the Yam HaMelech, meaning that you're not allowed to have Hana'ah from it, but Me'ilah doesn't apply to it. Rabbi Lozer, I mean, you put it in the Nedava. Rabbi Lozer says you put it in one of the Nedava boxes. So the Gemara is mentioning that Derech Agav, because we mentioned it before, when earlier in the Masechta, when we mentioned Rabbi Yassa's statement about Hifush Shikle V'mes, in that connection, we also mentioned this din about Moser Asir Seifa. Okay. So now the question is, going back to the Mishnah, we said that we said another case in the Mishnah was that if you find the money on the ground between Kinim and Goizle Oila, then we said you put it in, if it's exactly in the middle, then you put it in Goizle Oila. So the problem with that is V'yesh Chatas Kreva Oila. The problem is, how do you have a Chatas that's brought as an Oila? This money might have come, it's only a Suffolk after all, it might have come from the Kinim box, which according to the Chachamim is used for pairs of korbanos, where one's a chatas, one's an oila, and now you're taking the money and putting it in goyzle oila, which is going to be all for oilas. How do you do that? Says Tnai Bastin, who Allah Moisturis, she yikruvu oilus. Okay, it's a Tnai Bastin. Bastin has in mind that when there's leftover money, that and in this case we have money which is suffic, and therefore where it's left over because it was lost, so we can't bring it to Kinim. So it's considered like Moisu Chatas, it's considered like leftover money from Chatas. And we just said before in the previous paragraph that Moisu Chatas goes to oilus. So that's how that works. Now, the problem is, okay, but then you have some woman who brought this money where it's supposed to be brought. Let's say she gave birth, and now these karbonas, she needs these karbonas brought in order for her to be able to eat kodshim and enter the Beis Mikdash in the future. And now this money is going to be taken and used to buy oilas. So her chatos is not going to be brought. How is she going to have her kapara? Tnai Bastin, who the answer is that it's another Tnai Bastin, which we're gonna learn about tomorrow, Bez Hashem, Hamasapak is a kin and humasapak is a psolos. The person who is, you have actually a machlokas in the Mishnah between the Chachamim and Rabbi Yossi, but Rabbi Yossi says that whoever supplies the kinim, whoever the Beis Mikdash buys birds from. So like this, you have, again, there's a box over here with money for kinim and a box for gozle oila. So Bastin is using this money to the kohenim, the gizborim, whatever, are using this money to go and buy birds for the korbanos that the people need. So they have vendors that they buy the birds from. It's a Tnai Bastin that whoever supplies the birds, also whom is sapakas a psulis, he supplies also to replace any psulis. So anytime when you have a korban becomes posel, then we're going to go back to the vendor and say you have to supply a new one. Al derech, like we had in the fourth perek, where for example Hekdish is buying flour from somebody, and if the flour becomes wormy or otherwise becomes posel for a korban, then he has to eat the cost and give new flour, and the money only becomes his after the flour is actually offered on the Mizbeach. So similarly over here, Rabbi Yossi says, and the poskim and the Rambam passes this way, the halacha, that whoever's supplying the birds also has to supply to make up for any psulis. So in this case, that's exactly what we'll do. We'll go back to him and we'll say, we already bought 1,000 birds from you for korbanos, but now we have this money over here, which may have come from the chatas and oila box. So now, and we're not sure if it did. So to make sure that this woman, in case this was brought by somebody who needs a chatas and an oila, you need to supply us 2 more birds for free, and then those birds will be used to bring on behalf of that hypothetical woman. Now, in that case, by the way, because we're only bringing a chatas ala sofik, then it's not going to be eaten, but that's fine. A chatas oif, you're allowed to bring on a sofik, unlike a chatas behema. Okay, so it all works out, in other words. By the way, according to the Chachamim over there, in that Mishnah, it's not such a problem either, because the Chachamim in that Mishnah, the Chum in that Mishnah say that the Tzibur supplies to make up for the Kinim Apsulis. So same idea then. The Pasul one is going to be made up somehow, according to the Chachamim, from money of the Tzibur, and according to Rabbi Yossi, the vendor himself, the one who sold them birds, is going to be responsible for giving them new ones to make up for the Pasul ones. Okay. The Gemara asks, okay, so now the Mishnah mentioned only a few cases where you find money between one box and another. What about loitz sorcha de la ben ktoris? Shouldn't the Mishnah also have mentioned ben ktoris loitz? And what if you find money between the ktoris box and the wood box? Now, you don't really have it. You don't have a box labeled ktoris. So the Mephoshim over here changed the word ktoris to kinim. What if you find money on the ground between kinim, which is the third box, or gozle oila rather, which is the fourth box, and eitzim, which is the fifth box? Or what about lavoina lazahav lakaparis? What about, we said, the sixth box was for lavoina, where a person wants to donate lavoina to be money for lavoina to be offered on the mizbeach, and the next one, the seventh one, was zahav lekfodas, if he wants to donate gold to be used towards the clay shardis. Why didn't the Mishnah mention that? So the answer is for tenisa v'seifa, because the Mishnah gives us a general rule in the seifa. Zeh haklal hochanach ha'akarev mechzel mechzel ha'achmir. The general rule is we go according to the closest one, even if it's lekula, and if it's exactly in the middle, then we go lechumra. So therefore, all we have to do is figure out, in these cases, which one is the more chomer one. So if it's between Gozle Ola and Eitzim, then obviously the answer is it's going for Gozle Ola, because though themselves are korbanos, whereas the wood we said is only machshire korban, is only a prerequisite for a korban. And if it's between Lavoina and Zahav Lekfortis, same idea. Lavoina itself is offered on the Mizbeach. Zahav Lekfortis is going to go for Klei Sharis, therefore Lavoina would have the higher level of Kedusha. So in other words, the Gemara is saying we could figure that out ourselves, therefore the Mishnah didn't need to mention that. The cases that the Mishnah mentioned, each one was to tell us some kind of Chiddush. The one about where it's between Nadava and Shkalim taught us that they were arranged in a circle, like we said before. The one about Eitzim LeLavoina, we needed to be informed that Lavoina has a higher level of Kedusha than Eitzim. And with Kinim and Gozloila, we had to be informed about the whole situation over there, what we do as far as fixing, how a Chatas turns into an Ola, the fact that we have a Tanai based in, and how the person's Korban is made up for. So there's a Chiddush in each one of those. Therefore, the Mishnah mentioned them specifically. Every other case, there's less of a Chiddush. Therefore, the Mishnah just told us Zeha Klal, and we're meant to understand them ourselves. Okay. Mishnah says, Halacha Beis, Mois Shenimtzu Lefnei Socher Behema. If you find money on the ground in Yerushalayim in front of the cattle dealers, so then you have to assume the Oila Meiser, anytime during the year that you find that money, you have to assume that it's Meiser Sheni money. Now, what happens? People bring their Meiser Sheni money to Yerushalayim. Now, the Oile Regal come for Yom Tov and bring their Meiser Sheni money, and while they're there over Yom Tov, they spend it on food, and one of the common kinds of things that they can do with it is they can buy an animal for Shlomim. In fact, Midaraisa, they'd be allowed to buy an animal even just to bring as Chulin, but Midarabanan, if they're going to buy an animal, it has to be for Shlomim. So during Yom Tov, for sure, there's reason to say that this money is Meiser Sheni money. But even during the rest of the year, what happens is eventually the person leaves to go back home and go back to their house and their business or whatever. What are they going to do? They inevitably, if they have a lot of Meiser Sheni money, they can't possibly have spent it and eaten that during the whole time in Yerushalayim. So what they do is they give it to people in Yerushalayim, b'tova sana, like for a minor fee. That this way the person can eat it, can spend that money on food and drink and eat it with the Kedusha of Meiser Sheni at their own convenience. So even during the rest of the year, therefore, when you find money in front of the cattle dealers, chances are that somebody dropped it on their way to go and buy an animal for a shlomim out of Meiser Sheni money, and therefore we have to assume that this money is Meiser Sheni. Why don't we say on the other hand, maybe the seller dropped it after it was already used to buy an animal, therefore it's cholin. So the Mefoshim here bring two reasons based on the Gemara, the Bavli discusses this Mishnah in Bav Metzia, in Eila Metzias, and Rashi and Tosfos over there give two answers. Number one is, okay, it's a regular Suffolk Daraisa, so we have to be Machmer anyway. The other reason is, Tosfos says, because the fact is, you have a lot more potential buyers than sellers, because you'll have a person has an animal to sell, and a lot of people will congregate around there and want to buy it. Therefore, we have to assume that the money is Meiser Sheni. In fact, by the way, we learned this at the beginning. We had a sugya on this at the beginning of Psachim as well. So you always have to consider that money is Meiser Sheni money and treat it as such and use it dafka to buy food and drink and eat that food with the dinim of Meiser Sheni. Over Harabayis Cholin. On the other hand, if you find money on the Harabayis, even during the Shalosh Regalim, then you can always assume that money is Cholin, because after all, you go according to Roiv. Roiv money in the world is Cholin. And therefore, now, unlike that, we're going to go on the mission to say in the rest of the city of Yerushalayim is different, but in the Harabayis, you can always assume it's Cholin because it didn't necessarily fall today. It may have fallen a long time before Yom Tov and just wasn't noticed until now. Therefore, we can assume it's Cholin. Tosfos in Bava Metzia, by the way, points out the Gemara does say that the Mishnah tells us in Brachos that you're not allowed to go into the Harabayis with money tied up in your money bag, because then it looks like you're going into the Beis Mikdash to do business and it's not respectful to the Beis Mikdash. However, Tosfos says that means you can't carry the money in a way where it's openly obvious that you're carrying it. But let's say, for example, you could have money in your pocket or something, so conceivably you could have a person drop money on the way. But also there's the idea that we don't say that maybe it's money that a person was bringing to give it, to put in one of the shofaris that we said. So the Talmud Rashbash explains, because a person usually keeps that money chulin until they actually come to the Bais Mikdash, and then they're makdish it only right before they put it in the box. Therefore, when they, if they dropped it on the way, then we can assume it's chulin. Another reason that Teferis Yisrael says is a balabatish reason. If a person is actually coming now to the Bais Mikdash to donate money to Hekdash, then they're going to be very careful with that money and not lose it in the first place. Okay, so for all those reasons, you can assume the money is whole. Over Yerushalayim, what about if you find the money anywhere else in the city of Yerushalayim? Then Bishar Kol Yemos HaShana Cholin. If you find it anywhere else, if you find it any time during the rest of the year, then you can assume it's chulin. And the reason is, the Gemara tells us, we learned this in Pesachim, and the Gemara mentions it in a couple of other places, including in that sugya in Bava Metzia. The reason is, they used to sweep the streets of Yerushalayim every day in order to make, first of all, so the city should look nice. It's a covered dig, but more to the point is, they did it in order to make sure that there are no dead shrutzim or nevelas around, which would be matame people in Yerushalayim. We have to be extra careful about term of a tara. So therefore, they swept the streets every day. So if this money was dropped sometime during Yom Tov, then it would have been found during Yom Tov. The fact that we find it now outside of Yom Tov means it must have been dropped today. Therefore, we can assume it's cholin. Rashi in those places points out that the Harabayis is different, because the Harabayis is a large open flat, is a large open area, and it's sloped. They didn't need to sweep it every day, because anyway, it's sloped and dirt and everything naturally falls to the sides. And anyway, since you're not allowed to even go into the Bais Mikdash wearing shoes, less dirt was tracked in the first place. Therefore, they didn't find it necessary to sweep the Harabayis every day. So therefore, you could conceivably have money that was dropped there and is only discovered a long time later, as opposed to in Yerushalayim, because the streets are swept every day, they'll find it on the day that it was lost or the next morning. On the other hand, of a shasa regal, I call meiser, but if you find money anywhere in Yerushalayim, not in front of the cattle dealers, then you have to assume it's meiser, because then during the shalosh regalim, when the oile regal come to Yerushalayim and they bring their meiser sheni with them, during those times, most money circulating in Yerushalayim is meiser sheni money, therefore you have to assume it's meiser. Okay. Next, the Mishnah continues, boser shenimtza ba'azara, if you find meat in the azara, so evorim oilus, if it's cut only into evorim, into limbs of the animal, then we have to assume it's meat from oilus. So it's cut up into the way that an oila is cut up, which we'll learn about in Masechta Yoma in a couple of weeks, Bez Hashem. So you have to assume it's an oila. If it had been a chatas or some other korban that could be eaten, but pashtus, they would have cut it into smaller chunks. Vachatiches, so if you find it cut into smaller chunks, chatois, then you can assume it's a chatas. So it wouldn't be an oila, because if it was an oila, you wouldn't cut it into smaller chunks. So therefore, it must be a korban that's eaten. It must be a korban that's eaten. And therefore, most likely, it's a chatas. Now, of course, the Rivavan says it could equally well be an osham, but fine, that's not really negea so much. Either way, first of all, chatas is more common, and second of all, it's not really negea. Both of them have the same dinim as far as eating. It's less likely that it's some other kind of korban, because they wouldn't have it necessarily in the azara over there, because other kinds of korbanos can be eaten anywhere in Yerushalayim. Over Yerushalayim, and if we find pieces, slices of meat anywhere else in Yerushalayim, then we assume zivchei shlamim, then we have to assume that it's a shlamim. Or again, it could equally well be a toida or a maisa behema, but whatever, shlamim is more common. That doesn't mean the Mishnah says that you can actually eat this meat, because after all, fine, it may be from an oila, it may be from a chatas, maybe from a shlamim, but we don't know. It might be posel in some other way, might be tome, might be noser, etc. Therefore, zevazet to ubatsurase, either way, you can't actually eat it, or you can't actually be makriv on the mizbeach in the case of evorim. You have to leave it until it has ibur tzura, the yetzel, the beis hasreifa, and then you take it out to the place on the harabais where they burnt posel korbanos. To ubat tzurasa, we've talked about. We had a sugya about it in Psachim about ibur tzura, which we're going to refer to in the Gemara over here. So one possibility, it means just that you have to leave it overnight. You just have to until it becomes noiser. The other possibility, some of the Mephoshim say, including Rabbeinu Hananel and the Rambam, say that it means that you actually have to leave it until it spoils. Either way, Rashi in some places explains that Ibur Tzura means that you leave it overnight, but also the idea is what, besides that it becomes noiser lahalacha, practically speaking, also it loses its freshness, and therefore that's enough to be able to now burn it. whereas according to Rabbeinu Chanan, etc., you would say it actually has to spoil. Whatever the case, because it's only a suffix, whether it's tomei or posel or whatever, therefore we can't brune it right away, because you can't brune kodshim that are tahor, that are tahor and kosher. You have to wait till ibur tzura, and only then you can brune it. Okay, continues the Mishnah. Nimtza begvulin. What about in a similar scenario, if you find meat outside your shalayim? Evorim nevelus. Then, if you find whole limbs, then you have to assume that it's nevela, and you have to assume that it's nevela because the likelihood is, why did they leave it in large chunks? Because they're going to either throw it away as is, or they're going to feed it to animals. For animals, you don't need to slice it into small pieces. Therefore, the likelihood is that it's nevela. Vachatichas mutares. If it's slices of meat, then it would be mutter, and we'll see what we mean in the Gemara. Do we mean that it's actually mutter to eat, or do we just mean that a person is not chayav for eating nevela if he eats it? Uvashasa regal shabos meruba. On the other hand, during the yom tovim, when there's a lot of meat being eaten, so then af evorim mutaris, then even large evorim would be mutter, because then because they're preparing so much meat in honor of yom tov, therefore even evorim, it's highly likely that they're just cutting up the animal into large chunks rather than smaller pieces and cooking or roasting them that way. So therefore, therefore you don't have to assume that it's nevela. Right, so the Gemara starts off. So are you telling me that why are we assuming loitz socha deloy is sort of like the Loshen and the Bavli loitz sricha ella. Is the Mishnah telling us always that necessarily money on the Harabayas is always chulin? What is it impossible for there to be kodshim money on the Harabayas? I mean, after all, you have Trumas Alishka over there and their kodesh. And again, like we said before, Tosfos had said, Tikkun Chadat and brings it over here, you would be allowed to bring money onto the Harabayas in a hidden way. So you could conceivably have money of Kodshim over there. Why do we assume that it's always Cholin? The answer is Rabbar of Chia B'Shem Rabbi Yechanan, Chazaka She'ena Koyin Moitzi Min Alishka Mois. We have a Chazaka that the Koyin, the Gizbar, whoever, is not going to take money out of the Lishka in order to buy a Korban, Adro Mechalol on Ala Behema, before he's Mechalol that money on the animal that he's going to buy. So therefore, when we find money on the Harabayas, even if it was originally in the Lishka, and therefore was money of Hektish, money of Machta Shekel, nevertheless, now it's already been Nischalel, therefore it's Cholin. So yes, we can assume that money that we find on the Harabayas is almost always Cholin. And again, we go according to the Rove, and Rove money that you're going to find there is going to be Cholin.
Probably especially also because we said that when they used to go take out the money, they would go without pockets, whatever it is, so it would be eyes on them.
Here you're talking about you finding it elsewhere in the Harabayas. So the guy might have dropped it, but we're saying even if he did drop it, by the time he dropped it, he was already mechalal it.
Mechalal means he switched, he changed it over.
It means he's trading it in, right? He's having right. In mind that this money that I took out of the Lishka, I'm going now with these however many, I'm going now with these few dollars to buy an animal which is needed for the korbanos. I'm having in mind that as of now, this money is mechalal on whichever animal I end up buying. So now the money is holding. Okay. Okay, we said in the Mishnah, Bosa Shinimtsav Chola, we said if you find meat, and by the way, of course, all these dinim as far as finding meat are not directly relevant to Masech Shkolim, but because we talked in the first Mishnah about cases where you find money on the ground between the Shkolim and the Dava, and between this box and that box, so therefore, obviously, the Mishnah is digressing with other dinim about when you find something, what the dinim of it are, which is going to cover the next couple of Mishnayos are going to be about such dinim where you find something and you're not sure what the dinim of it are. So we said bosa shenimtsa v'chola. So we said we have the case where you find meat in the azara, and we said depending on how it's cut up, we assume it's either from an oilo or a chatos respectively. But then we said either way, it needs ibur tzura. So the Gemara says, Rabbi Loza b'shem Rabbi Hoshia, he siya das, if you're masiach das from meat of a korban, stone, ibur tzura, you can't burn it right away. You need ibur tzura, even though it becomes posel from hesach das, it needs ibur tzura before you're going to burn it. Which actually we had in Psachim, we had a machlokas Rabbi Yochanan and Rish Lakish on this topic of hesach das and kodshim. We say that hesach das makes kodshim posel, But what's the reason behind it? Is it Rish Lakish had said over there, it's a psul begufoi, it's considered an intrinsic psul in a korban, so therefore it's exactly the equivalent of the korban being pigul or noiser or what have you, and therefore you can burn it right there on the spot. You don't have to wait for Ibur Tzura. Rabbi Yochanan had said it was only psul tuma. It's only because of a suffix whether it became tameh, and therefore we said in the Gemara over there, for example, what happens if Eliyahu Novi were to come and tell us, well, what if we check the video feed and we find that it never became tameh? Then Rabbi Yochanan would say there's no problem. It's still kosher to eat. Whereas Rish Lakish would say no. Just the fact that Hes Chadas happened itself is enough to passel it. So now, our Gemara over here, Rabbi Hoshea, is going, Rabbi Hoshea, who was in fact Rabbi Yochanan's Rebbe, is agreeing with Rabbi Yochanan's Shita that it needs Ibur Tzura. It's not a psul begufay, it's only a psul because of a suffix tuma, and therefore it needs Ibur Tzura in order to be able to burn it. Amr Rabbi Hoshea, so Rabbi Hoshea says, Masnisa Amr Kain. In fact, our Mishnah, we see a proof from that from our Mishnah, because the Mishnah had said to Ubur Tzura, Sivyetzel Beis HaSrefa, that you have to do Ibur Tzura, and only then can you burn it. Now, how would Rish Lakish understand the Mishnah? The Gemara explains over there in Pesachim that Rish Lakish would say there's a different opinion that says that all korbanos that are possible, even if it's a psul begufay, require Ibur Tzura. That opinion would say that even pigul or noiser or whatever requires Ibur Tzura or tomei or what have you. So therefore, according to him, it would, but not necessarily, according to him, it doesn't. But outside of that opinion, something that's a psul begufay wouldn't require Ibur Tzura. Okay. Amr Rabbi Yossi, so Rabbi Yossi says the Yos. This is correct. Now, actually, is Rabbi Yossi making a statement or is he asking a question that you have an argument between Tiklun Chadatin and Korban Eda? How to understand the next line of the Gemara? Korban Eda understands it as a question, and Tiklun Chadatin explains it as a proof. So first, let's understand it as a question, like Korban Eda does. So Rabbi Yossi is saying, "V'yos, is that correct? How could you say that? How could you say that in the Mishnah, the reason is because of Hesach Hadas? It's not. As long as it's in the Azara, you can't call it Hesach Hadas." Because if we go according to Rabbi Yochanan, that the problem with Hesach Hadas is because it may have become tameh in the Azara, it's very unlikely to have become tameh. So rather, you have to say. The reason why it's possible is because maybe it's already noiser, maybe it already had Ibur Tzura. So you can't eat it Shemen Iskalkol Tzura, so because maybe it already had Ibur Tzura, and you can't burn it either because maybe not. Because of that, you need Ibur Tzura because of the suffix. But if it really was possible with Hesach Hadas, and if it really was possible with Hesach Hadas, then you wouldn't actually even need Ibur Tzura. Then you'd be able to burn it on the spot. Only because it's in the Azara and Hesach Hadas doesn't apply in the Azara, do you have to do Ibur Tzura. So not like Rabbi Hoshea is saying. On the other hand, Tiklun Chadatin explains that Rabbi Yossi is bringing a proof. He's saying that's correct. It has to be that you need, the reason why you need Ibur Tzura is because it's only a suffix tumah, and in fact, the Azara is considered Rishus Rabim, and Rishus Rabim suffix tumah is tahor. The same thing, Yerushalayim is also considered Rishus Rabim. So therefore, but the thing is that the fact is, you do have to. If it was just a chashash of tumah, there wouldn't be a problem. But again, the problem is it might be noiser, and on the other hand, it might not. So therefore, there's no choice but to give it Ibur Tzura. So in other words, yes, it is. So in other words, he's bringing a proof. The reason why the Mishnah says Ibur Tzura is because of the Hesach Hadas, and the problem again is not so much the Hesach Hadas, but the fact that it may really be noiser. On the other hand, it may not. So again, therefore, that would mean that the Mishnah better supports Rabbi Hoshea's and Rabbi Yochanan's opinion more than Rish Lakish's. Okay. We said in the Mishnah, Nimtza B'gvulin Chola, we said if we find meat outside Yerushalayim, so then we said if you find a Vorim, it's cut up into large, into limbs, then we have to assume it's Nevela. So the Gemara says, Reb Krispa B'Shem Reb Yossi B'Reb Chanina, a Vorim Nevelus means actually Loikin Alein Meshum Nevela. When we say the limbs, when we say if you find large limbs, then we consider them that they're nevela. We don't just mean it's suffix nevela. We mean it's vadai nevela to the extent that if a person eats that meat, he's going to be getting malchus for eating nevela. Because if we say it's vadai, it's not just a suffix, it's vadai nevela. And the Gemara says, Masnisa Omer Kain. Yeah, in fact, that's borne out by the words of the Mishnah, because the Mishnah had said, Evorim Nevelis, Vachatichas Mutaris. Now let's consider, in other words, if the Mishnah is putting those two things together, Chatichas Mutaris Loi Mamish, Luchura, when we say that if they're pieces of meat, then it's Mutter, the pashtus, that means mamash mutter, because otherwise, what is the Mishnah saying? So therefore, by comparison, or dekavasa, so then by parallel, evonim nevelas would have to mean that the vaday also loikan alein mishum nevela. So that's what it would mean. In other words, the evorim are vaday nevela, the chatichas are vaday mutter. Now, by the way, it's not so simple as that, because you have an opinion, which the Gemara is going to bring soon. You have an opinion of Rav that says, Boso shenis ala mina ayin osur. If you have meat that was out of sight of a yid for a while, then it becomes osur because it may have been swapped out with today for meat. We're going to have examples of that soon in the Gemara. But Rabbi Yossi, Rabbi Chanina is going according to the opinion that there's no problem with that, and therefore that when the Mishnah says chatichas are mutter, means actually mutter to eat. According to Rav, Rav would have to understand the Mishnah that no, it means chatichas are mutter in the sense that It's only a suffix, where it's a suffix whether they're mutter or not. So therefore, we can't actually eat them, but a person is not getting malchus for eating them. And evorim nevelus would also have to mean that it's a suffix whether they're nevela. But again, it would mean that we're not allowed to eat them. But actually, Rav would say that maybe no. Maybe what it means is chatichas are mutter only in the sense that you don't get malchus for them. Evorim would be nevelus, and you would actually get, and he would agree that you would actually get malchus for eating them. Okay. On the other hand, Reb Krispa, B'Shem Reb Yosi, Reb Chanina, he also says, "Im hoyu machroizes mutaris." If these pieces of meat, even if they're evorim, if they're strung on a string, then they're mutter, because nobody's going to do that with nevelas. So even evorim would be mutter. Tiklan Chadotin says it may even refer to the meat that you found in the Azara. Before we said if you find meat in the Azara, you have to have a suffix, whether it's oil or chatos or what have you. But if you find it on a string, you don't do that with meat of hektish. Therefore, we have every right to assume that this meat is meat of chulin, which was brought in. The Kohenim would eat meat of chulin in order to later on be able to eat the kodshim ala soiva. So you could assume then that this meat, if you find it on a string, even in the Azara, you can assume that it's chulin, and therefore you'd be allowed to eat it. Because obviously with Cholin, there's no issue of tumor or noisa or what have you. Okay. How about a case, speaking of found meat, Teisha Chanuyas Merchus Psar Nevela, suppose you have 9 stores in town that sell Nevela meat, the Achas Mecheres Psar Shchuta, one sells kosher meat, Nischalfuloi, so now if you got mixed up and you bought from one of the stores and you're not sure which one, Choshish, then you have to be Choshish that it would be Nevela and you're not allowed to eat it. Now, we still don't say, we're only saying choshish. We're still not saying that it's actually definitely nevela on the grounds of roiv, because as the Gemara points out in a bunch of places, this is a case of kavua. You have all the stores of kavua in place, and the rule is la locha, kol kavua kemechza al mechza dummy. When you have something established in place, then we consider it a 50-50 chance, and here we're saying and here we're saying that it's even lakula. In fact, Gilyan Ashas, or Akiva Eger over here, refers to other places where the Gemara wonders whether, in fact, this rule of Kol Kavur Kamechzal Mechzadami applies Lakula. Here we see from this Gemara over here, apparently, that it does. So therefore, you can't give him Malkus for having eaten Vada and Nevela, but you can say it's a 50-50 chance, and therefore he has to be Choshesh. Velanimtsis, on the other hand, if you find meat in the street in such a place, then you're going according to the roiv, and since 9 of the 10 stores sell nevela, then you have to assume that this meat is definitely nevela. Another case, Teisha Chanuyas Merchus Psar Shchuta. What if it's the other way around? This one actually we learned in Psachim, and it's also a Mishnah in I think in Masechta Taharis. If you have 9 stores that are selling Psar Shchuta, the Achas Mecheres Psar Nevela, and one is selling Nevela, so then the same thing, the Schalchuloi. If you're not sure, you bought meat from one of them and you're not sure which one, Choshish, then again you need to be Choshish. Again, even though here it's the other way around, it's a nine in ten chance that it's kosher, but because all the stores are kavua in place and the suffix was created in the store, which is kavua, therefore it's kol kavua kemechza al mechza, and therefore you have to be concerned that it might be nevela, but it's only a 50-50 chance. V'lanimtzis hochan achar aroiv, but again, if you find meat in such a place, if you find a piece of meat lying on the street, then you can go according to the roiv, and here, since the roiv are selling shchuta, then you can assume that it's kosher to meat. And the Gemara mentions in this connection, If you, in a town like that, which is mostly selling kosher meat, if you find meat in the hands of a guy, then it's as if you found it in the street. Therefore, it would be mutter because you go according to the roiv. Tiklan Chadetin explains, and Korban Eda explained, based on Gemara and other places, this is only based on Gemara and Chulin in particular, that this only applies if most of the people who kill animals in town are Jews and they shecht properly. So then you can assume this guy, where did he get this meat from? Ultimately, it's meat that was shechted by a Yid. Therefore, we can assume it's kosher meat. On the other hand, the Gemara tells, Rabbi Lozer Beir Abchagai have a mismach of Mona. Rabbi Lozer Beir Abchagai was supporting Rabbi Mona. In other words, Rabbi Mona was old and Rabbi Lozer Beir Abchagai was supporting him as he was walking. Chomel Chad Armoy, he saw a certain guy, Mekatam and Sose, he was cutting off a piece of meat from his horse. A piece of horse meat, umapik labora, and he was carrying it outside. So there you have an example. He's carrying meat, which obviously is treif. Omale, so sort of laws of ben abchaga. Ask your mana. Hadohi d'amar Rabbi Yechon animtza biad nochrik animtza beplatia. How does this fit with what Rabbi Yechon is saying? Here in town, most of the shochtim are Jews, and yet here we see clearly that this guy is carrying meat, which is obviously treif. So what makes you say that just because most of the shochtim are Jews, therefore any meat that you find in the hand of a goy probably came from them? It could equally well be like this guy that he cut it off his horse. Amalei said, Amona says, Kein Amar Rabbi Yossi Rebbe. You're right. You have to clarify. This is what my Rebbe, Rabbi Yossi, says. Behen shero oitze yotze memakoylen shal Yisrael. This din of Rabbi Yechonon's would apply only if you actually see the guy walking out of a Jewish butcher shop. Then you can assume that the meat that from a Jewish meat market, then you can assume the meat that he bought came from a Yid, and it came from, and since most of the shochtim in town are Jews, then therefore that meat would be mutter. Again, not according to Rav, because Rav holds that Basar Shenis Alam and Ayin is a problem, but according to Rabbi Yechonon, it would in fact be mutter. But yes, if you don't see that he's coming out of a Jewish butcher shop, then you're right, you may have a case like this, where, for example, he cut a piece of meat off his horse. Okay, so we'll continue tomorrow, Bez Hashem, with more discussion of this of these dinim of meat, where there's a suffix, whether it's also in mutter or not, and talk more about this idea of Basar Shenis Alam and Ayin.
Thank you very much for a wonderful show.